We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes, no.
No?
Sir, it was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not.
No, it's not fun anymore, not even a little bit.
Just look at that, he hit the ball. Guy gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a blast, thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the podcast where all movies are sports movies. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo, and it is time for our last episode of 2023. Today, as selected by the Big Screen Sports Patreon group, we are talking The Princess Bride. It's me, Caroline Darney, Ryan Nanny, going over just a classic. This movie is absolutely delightful. Big shout out to the Patreon for selecting this one, especially our Big Chill producer level patrons. That is Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, Kevin Frost, Mike D, Ryan Yeager, Mike Dries, Chris Mikoski, John Craig, Sam Smith, Zach Rich, Class Dating Fire, Jason Alva, Stephen DeBoe, Dan McFall, Kevin Inkelman, Mac Lindsay, Kurt Ritchie, Robert Dove, Andrew Teagle, Real One Balagoon, Jeff Esses, Anthony Scafone, and Taylor Logan. Biggest thanks to them and all of the patrons for supporting the show in the 2023 year. And big thanks to anyone who, if this is your first episode, if this is your, 52nd episode, however many we've had, biggest thanks to you for tuning in, joining me, joining Caroline, joining all of our great guests and covering these movies and covering Ted Lasso. It's been great. Like I said at the top, this is going to be the last episode of the year. We're going to take a break for Christmas, and then we're going to have a best of on the New Year's Monday, but then we'll be back at it in January, covering your favorite movies, doing a monthly live watch for the Patreon. So all that good stuff. Hope everyone has a very happy holidays. Let's talk The Princess Bride with me, Caroline, and Ryan. All right, returning to tonight's episode of Big Screen Sports. She is from Bet for the Win and the co-host of For the Water Cooler, and he is from The Messenger and the co-host of The Shutdown Fullcast, Caroline Darney and Ryan Nanny. Guys, would you rather deal with a shrieking eel or a rodent of unusual size?
Rodent of unusual size, for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? You know where you have to be to deal with a shrieking eel? In the water. Absolutely not.
You do. It's fair. But
you're like trained for that. That's like your whole thing.
Isn't that the first day of boot camp in the Navy? Shrieking eels?
Specifically shrieking eels. They're like the Hilo dunker with shrieking eels.
I think the rodents of unusual size is probably the right call, because they like the whatever. I'm not gonna get into these weeds, but like I think they're easier to deal with than the film lets on.
I think so, because of ease of movement.
Yeah, right. Like I think if you just serpentine, they're done.
Their lateral movement has to be terrible, but I will say the rodent is horrifying.
If you went up like three steps, the rodent would be like, I can't do that.
That's why I can't figure out why he struggled so much with it, because it's got such short legs.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's no way that it should have that much leverage on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the rodent just wouldn't, it's never seen a juke move. So I think that's probably the move.
Hit B button, spin, nothing. You're
gone. I need someone good at video to mix Tavon Austin highlights with Photoshop him just dodging rodents. Before we get into it, Caroline, what's going on at Bet for the Win?
Oh, we got all sorts of stuff happening over at Bet for the Win, for the Win. We got a lot of college football content as we head into the postseason.
Are people still gambling, or have we as a society stopped to do
that? Everyone stopped.
Everybody made all their money. Everybody made all the money.
Everybody was like, I've won too much, and had to stop. So, yeah, no, everyone's still betting on all of the things. It should be, yeah, we've got a ton of stuff coming up. Like I said, around bowl games, college football playoffs, NBA season's in full swing, all sorts of fun stuff. And got some TV content. For All Mankind is back. Yeah, all sorts of things. And of course, Taylor Swift content. So
always, it never stops. And Ryan, how are things at the Messenger?
I just copy whatever Caroline's doing. I just see whatever Caroline's doing, and I just write my version of it. So everything Caroline said, I'm just going to do that.
So it's going great.
It's so easy. And so I just wake up and I'm like, what Caroline write? I'm like, all right, there's my assignment.
It's just like, oh, wow, she wrote about dogs and Top Gun again. This is weird.
All right, you know?
Guess I've got to dive right back in. Dogs and Top Gun.
What's cuter, dogs or Top Gun? Tied? Okay, cool.
I got a Rover review that included Top Gun. So I feel like I've peaked as a
person. What does that mean?
You've reached your final form.
How does it include Top Gun?
So, I had a whole conversation because I was trying to figure out my schedule for the second day of watching this dog, and explained to the owner, the woman that I had like to do an interview, and she asked more about it, and I was I was chatting with every friend of the pod. I don't know if I guess we can say that because we just mentioned him multiple times, but I had an interview with Glenn Powell about Texas football.
Play the music.
And so I had told her, she was like, oh, that's cool. How'd you? Anyway, so I explained like doing some of the junkets and stuff. And so in the review that she left on my profile was saying that it was actually glowing. Like, I want to see if I can put this on my resume, because she was very kind about how like timely and interesting and like loving I was to the dog and like patient with the dog. And mentioned like super interesting, and then put like M dashes, like ask her about her Top Gun Maverick connection.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's all in there. 5 stars, by the way.
I bet dogs hate Top Gun.
But loud noises are probably a problem.
Loud noises, no room for them in the plane.
This is going to surprise you. My two are now do not react to the movie at all. So
I wonder why that is.
Maverick sometimes looks up when John Hamm gets mad at Maverick. So.
I think they're probably like, they go to the beach and there's nobody playing with dogs. Like, there's just no dog fun in this.
There's one dog in the movie. They love that part.
But there's no fun. Like, here's some stuff with fun dogs.
Nope. Don't take the dog on the boat. Don't take the dog on the.
It's called dog fighting. And it's like, that's not what this is.
That's not what we do.
No.
It's insulting. It's insulting to dogs, frankly.
Yeah, right.
How dare you imply that we would
fight. We can't fly. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I've reached my final form.
Yes, you're thriving. Well, last week, Caroline, we did National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation as voted on by the patrons. And during that recording, I mentioned that it had tied with another movie that in the patron poll, and right away you gave me all the indications of this is a movie that you want to do. So today, as voted on by the Big Screen Sports Patreon group, we are doing The Princess Bride, the 1987 comedy adventure movie. So the summary for this movie, it's not as funny as the Disney Plus survey or summary, but it's a bedridden boy's grandfather reads him the story of a farm boy turned pirate who encounters numerous obstacles, enemies, and allies in his quest to be reunited with true love. Continuing the summary, the Disney Plus one calls him an ailing boy, really implying that this child is dying and not just faking sick from school like Ferris Bueller wanting to play video games. It starred Cary Elwes, Robin Wright, and Mandy Patinkin. Directed by Rob Reiner, based on the book by William Goldman, got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Caroline, when I threw out the name of this movie, you jumped at it. Why?
I love this movie. This was our snow day movie growing up. So anytime we had off the school, we would throw on Princess Bride. So I think it's I'm always intrigued to find out when, if people There are a few people that don't love this movie, and that's totally fine. To each their own. Generally, I found that those are folks that watched it later in life, and I think you miss out on some of that, like, connection of whatever it was growing up. And so I don't know, there's just something special about this movie, and I find it just so comforting and it's really funny. I don't know, I laugh. There's so many things that I realize that I say or that I quote heavily from this movie, and it's just, I just find it charming. I absolutely love it. I enjoyed watching it again thoroughly. It had been a while since I'd seen it, and I love Mandy Patinkin, so
he's a delight. Yeah. Ryan, did you experience The Princess Bride early in life?
Yes. I grew up in Florida, so we didn't have a snow day movie, but this was like...
You grew up in the fire swamp.
That's correct. This was like a reliable... You're homesick, or you're just like, you're on a family vacation and you just needed to like bring... Or you're at your grandma's house or something. Like I probably saw this at a grandparent's house for the first time. And yeah, I totally agree with Caroline that I think seeing it when you're little, it's, I think what it is that it has a lot of elements of, and this is very meta because this is what the film itself deals with. It has a lot of like elements of an adult film, not an adult film. That's not what I meant to say at all, of a film for grownups, but it's not a like film that's inappropriate to show like an 8-year-old or something like that. So you kind of get to feel like I'm watching this thing that is a little bit more grown up and is a little bit more mature, but is funny in ways that kids will get, is like actiony, but not, it's like the two things you've already mentioned, the RUSs and the shrieking eels are maybe the scary. There's one other thing I could throw in there, but like, it's not like terrifying at any point.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's especially doing this show. It is always nice when there is a movie that I can do my rewatch and have my 10-year-old son watch with me, and I still love the movie. And it is a perfect, like, once you reach the age where you can see this, it's great for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's legitimately funny. The action is really fun. It's very, like Ryan said, it's meta. The movie is so self-aware in a really good way, which is really enjoyable. And I love the framing device. The grandpa reading it to his little grandson.
His ailing bedridden grandson.
So can I plug myself for a little bit here?
Of course.
I have, and I wrote about this almost 3 years ago at this point. I have a theory that, Fred Savage's character, does he have a name? Does the kid
He's
have
just
a name?
The grandson.
Okay, the grandson. The I have this developed theory that Fred Savage is Jake Johnson's character from New Girl, Nick Miller, and this is him as a child experience. Oh, like this is him. Like Nick Miller. This is Nick Miller as a child.
Oh my God,
having this experience.
Yes. Done. Say less.
So this is where I have to just say I am not a part of the people who've watched New Girl. So okay. I've just got to. Yes, Caroline, I know. And I'm getting ahead of this, even though, unlike in our live watch, when my wife was there during the live watch to call me out when
correcting
I hadn't seen
him on everything.
Here's the important piece of connective tissue. So in this movie, we meet the grandson and the grandfather and the mom. In New Girl, we don't meet Jake Johnson's grandfather, but we do meet his father, who is played by Dennis Farina. And I like, it's very hard for you to tell me that Dennis Farina couldn't play Peter Falk's son, who is then Jake Johnson's grandfather.
Yeah. I just started laughing just imagining Dennis Farina as someone's dad, which I'm sure, like, I think Dennis Farina had kids, but imagine Dennis Farina being your dad. It'd be terrifying.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
want to, like, I'm sure you know this, Kyle, and I'm not trying to, like, rub it. You would love New Girl.
It's yeah. one of those pop culture black. It's like that and Friday Night Lights are the two things that I know I would enjoy and I know I need to watch. And, like, I've got some time coming up, so maybe that's the one.
Also, Rob Reiner's in New Girl as yes. has a recurring role. So
he's Love
Rob
Jessica Reiner. Day's dad, right? Isn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes, yeah. he's Property Brothers, whatever. Yeah, I forget her name now. I'm doing great.
Zooey Deschanel.
That's the one.
Yeah, it's Nick Miller is one of my favorite like television characters ever created. He is, and Jake Johnson plays him so flawlessly. Like, it's just, yeah, you'll love that show. But I buy this 100% in. Yes, that's
thank you. Thank you.
That's better than my theory that this is actually a Ferris Bueller prequel. And once the grandpa dies, there's no one to stop him from skipping school and causing havoc. He was the only person keeping Ferris Bueller at home.
So you
school.
Think he's not sick?
No, he's because the way he gives away to his mom, like he's like, here, feel me, like I'm sick, and it's sure you are, buddy. And then the grandpa has to come read the story because I think the mom is thinking this is the punishment. He's got to listen to a story. He can't play these video games. Grandpa's going to read him a story. And
what a conversation that must be. Hey, Dad, can you come over
and show my kids
your grandson because I'm mad at him?
And then it gives him this lifelong sense of adventure, which he then needs to fulfill as a teenager by hijacking a float in a parade in downtown Chicago.
Sure.
And I was going to say, it's all Chicago, so that stuff is tracking. Because, like, uh-huh. Nick Miller is from Chicago. Ferris Bueller takes place in Chicago. I would listen to arguments.
We're starting to turn into Charlie Day in front of the board. We're threading theories. We're making this work. I think we can all agree that this is a Hall of Fame movie. I would say the sport, a little bit
sword
the sport
fighting.
Of pirate, sword fighting, yeah, piracy. Yeah. You know, piracy
climbing.
One of the oldest sports.
There's a lot of climbing.
A lot of climbing. Yeah. So this is Hall of Fame. Medieval
decathlon. Let's say.
And there's the little baseball game at the beginning of the video game.
There
really,
is.
That pitcher was running down that.
Sure, ball. Sure. A little bit of a stretch, but yeah, sure.
There's a Bears jersey. Sports.
There's swimming.
Yes. Yeah.
It really is everything. This is, yeah. It's a triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
Horse riding.
Mm-hmm.
This is mm-hmm. arguably sportier than some of the
water,
sports movies.
Waterboarding.
the great sport of waterboarding.
To be fair, if you had told somebody in like 1990, like, oh, waterboarding is going to be a big thing in like 12 years. They'd be like, that sounds fun. You were like, it's not. It's super not.
Is that something people like, waterboarding? No.
No, it's not fun. It sounds cool. It's not fun.
Probably the funnest torture name, waterboarding.
Yeah. Very misleading in that way.
I would say, definitely. Okay, so the IMDb trivia. Extremely rich text. Try to be selective. There's some fun nuggets. There's some casting ones. It is one of those ones that I encourage people, go check it out for yourself. A lot of fun stuff. The one piece of trivia that I knew before this, I think from the, I can't remember if it was a 30 for 30 or an HBO documentary, the one on Andre the Giant, but that essentially his back was so bad that he couldn't hold Robin Wright. Like he had to be like, she had to be supported on strings. Like that's how much pain he was in at that point. Have you guys seen the Andre, the documentary?
No,
you're not telling it.
It was really good. No, it was really, really good. Cause like, I didn't know anything about him beyond this movie really. And like, I knew he was a wrestler, but now that I think about it, I think it was an HBO one. It wasn't in these late run of 30 for 30s where it's just a highlight reel essentially. But yeah, that's what I knew coming in. This one I did not know, and it relates to a text that Caroline sent us earlier. Robin Wright and Cary Elwes were smitten with each other during filming, naturally helping their chemistry in the movie. Elwes said that he, quote, couldn't concentrate on much of anything after that first encounter with Robin. These are two hot people, probably at their hottest.
Gorgeous at their most gorgeous. They both are just fresh-faced, beautiful. Yes. His hair looks wonderful in this. I actually told I talked to my sister this afternoon. I told her we were doing this. And she's like, I love that movie. But now I can't see Cary Elwes as anything except for the guy that cut his own leg off in Saw. And I was like, well, great.
We're going to talk about the Elwes career arc. Because it's really interesting it's funny that like, especially after, not even after this, but like he goes on a really like good 5 to 6 year stretch, maybe even like longer. And then in 2000, I think Saw came out in like 2004, and it's like, what is he doing in this?
Yeah, that was jarring. That's also, though, she made me and my dad watch that. And she was like, oh, it's so good. She's like, you'll love it. And it ended, and I wanted, like, we get along great, but it ended and I wanted to throat chop her.
I saw Saw on a date.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Saw on a date with a woman who was like, I don't like scary movies. Is this like that? And I was like, I've heard it's more like Seven. It's more like psychological. And then it was like, oh no, this was a mistake.
Yeah, that's
we are not married, in case in case I needed to make that clear. That's
not my wife.
That is not my wife.
I will say Seven would also be a really bad first date movie. So I think if that's what you thought it was, I don't know if that was the move.
I'm kind of an idiot. I think it should be laid out here.
She would have really loved the part where Kevin Spacey walks in with his fingerprints cut off. That's romance in the air.
I guess the end of Seven is not a real makeout sesh kind of moment. Now that you say it out loud,
Hold on, I want to see what's in the box.
There's some fun casting stuff. So this book was in the works, like William Goldman wanted to make a movie out of this book, or wanted this to get made, for almost 20 years until this movie got made. So there were some different actors that came up. According to Goldman, when he was first trying to get the movie made in the 70s, a then unknown Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to play Fezzik.
Oh.
Probably would have worked.
No, not then. He didn't have like the chemistry yet. He wasn't ready for that.
Probably 90s Schwarzenegger works.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like Jingle All the Way Schwarzenegger would have worked. Sure.
Perfect.
Very specifically. What a film.
Yeah.
What a film. Yeah, because we'll talk about it, but the really, truly, like the gentle giantness of Andre makes it work. Another person offered the role, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Would have been different, but could have worked.
Extremely different. A Fezzik, yes.
Yeah.
That would have been very different.
Yeah.
Doesn't have quite the girth that Andre, different kind of giant.
Yeah.
Just skyhooking his way all over the land. This one is interesting. Liam Neeson revealed on the Graham Norton show that he auditioned for Fezzik. Director Rob Reiner scoffed when he heard that Neeson's height was, quote, only 6'4".
Liam Neeson's 6'4"?
Apparently Liam Neeson is 6'4".
Huh. Okay.
Really?
I don't see that. I don't think this would have been the role for him, but I think they could have found something for him in this movie.
Yeah, I don't think that's for him.
Just like, we have a very special set of skills to get us up this mountain.
Okay, what did people know Liam Neeson for before Taken?
Schindler's List?
Yes. Think about how wild that is. That's we went from, we know him from this like very heartfelt movie about the Holocaust that won Academy Awards to, oh, he's the guy from Taken. That's
his particular set of skills.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
He does have a nice little run, one of the storylines that works in Love Actually.
Yeah.
Sure. But nobody's like, oh, the Liam Neeson film.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's
oh, Liam Neeson, the guy from Love Actually? That is how I'm only going to refer to him from here on. The guy who almost had a part in Princess Bride.
Almost
that
Fezzik.
Star of Love Actually. Uma Thurman auditioned for the role of Buttercup. She was thought to not have the classic princess looks for the part.
I will say, to go back to the two of them, they do have a very sort of like old Hollywood beauty to them. That I think makes a lot of sense. But I think Uma Thurman probably could have pulled that off too.
Yes. I didn't include this, but it was in the trivia that Cary Elwes was cast in part because he had that old Hollywood like Errol Flynn sort of quality, which is funny because then he was in Robin Hood Men in Tights. Yep.
Yes.
But they both definitely do. And Robin Wright is so much of a, like, it's that perfect kind of fantasy world princess. Like, she does seem, she's not damsel in distress. She does hold her own a little bit in this movie, but it's a little like, I guess, more delicate than Uma Thurman. I don't know if this is Kill Bill talking, but she does look like she could beat the shit out of you.
Yeah. Yes. There's something like ethereal to Robin Wright.
Yeah.
The hair is perfect. Her skin is flawless in this movie. Like, she I don't know what they, if they actually did use like one of those, like, what do they call it? Like the filters on it, whatever. The
An Instagram filter. They use
that on Robin, right? They put the Paris filter on it. I was like, here's a question I have for you, because I just rewatched Band of Brothers. And everyone knows where we're going with this.
Now, relevant.
It's the idea of, right, I think what you're talking about too, it's now they call it like iPad face, right? Like you can't cast someone in something historical if they look like they've seen an iPad. And I guess technically none of the people in Band of Brothers had seen an iPad because there wasn't one yet. But because in my mind I was like, they did a really good job of casting this because like none of these guys look like they've ever seen an iPad. And I was like, oh, because they literally had not. But I think that the idea still stands. Like they look like they could have that like old prince vibe, that like, you know, countryside vibe, that was something like they've never Googled anything.
No. And yes, like it's important that like it is like what a fantasy princess look like. This is not what actual royalty looks like.
No.
Actual royalty is a fucking mess.
No. She doesn't have like an inbred jaw and, teeth and
Yeah.
That's what every time I watch a movie, like it never fails. Anytime I watch a movie that's set before like 1900, I always have at least one thought in the movie of just like, man, their teeth would be way worse.
Oh, everyone they wouldn't
would have
them.
Gross teeth.
Most they wouldn't have most of them.
Yes, that's accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This one is fun. At one point considered for the role of Prince Humperdinck, Sting.
Was this around Dune? Is that probably around
I think
the same
so.
Time frame?
I think Dune was 1986.
Okay. So
it's Labyrinth.
Sting's not in Labyrinth.
That is David Bowie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said.
I'm really upset right now. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Sorry. I'm sorry. That's on me. That's my bad. I mixed up my age. Sorry.
Sting would have been fine in this movie.
Yeah.
You
don't know who
now
Sting
that I know
is. You don't get to.
Now that I've gotten track of like who everyone is.
Okay.
This is the most perfectly. First of all, the name Prince Humperdinck is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Just like the guy who plays him, flawless. Not a single note for this man in this performance.
Do you know who this is?
No, not at all.
Okay. This is Susan Sarandon's ex-husband.
What?
Chris really? Sarandon. Like that's where she got. I don't think her birth name is Sarandon. No, it's not. Like she was married to this dude. Yeah, I'm looking it up now. Yeah, they were married for like 12 years in the 70s.
I had no, and then right after this, she meets Tim Robbins.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know
just
that.
Sliding doors.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, he was great. I love him in this movie.
He's good. Okay. During the Miracle Max scene, both Rob Reiner and Carrie Elwes had to be removed from the set from laughing at Billy Crystal's improvised lines. A dummy of Wesley that Fezzik had been carrying around took Elwes' place on the table while him and Reiner watched the filming on a closed circuit monitor outside the closed set. Apparently everything Billy Crystal and Carol Kane did was improv.
That's amazing.
I like it.
Legends. Absolute legends. This last one is not relevant at all to what we've talked about. Really to the movie at all, but it's one of those ones that I love in the middle of a semi-serious IMDb trivia when it's stuff about the casting and stuff about the filming and that. Someone just chose to include Rob Reiner had to go to Germany to meet with Carrie Elwes right after the Chernobyl meltdown. That's it. That's it.
How many people found it helpful?
I like that if you read this a certain way, it suggests that one of them was responsible for it.
It's like they colluded on it and then met in Germany later.
People don't know. Rob Reiner's just this big cuddly teddy bear, but it turns out he caused Chernobyl.
It was Rob Reiner's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You can connect the dots directly to Rob Reiner.
He accidentally dumped a Mountain Dew on the wrong computer panel. Meltdown.
That's he's the guy, the 3.4 Ronkin. Not great, not terrible. that's actually Rob Reiner.
Oh, that's incredible.
Oh, man. Okay, let's take a quick ad break and then we'll get back with what worked.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we're back. Caroline, this is a Hall of Fame movie. What worked about it? Why is this a Hall of Fame movie?
It's so funny. The humor, I think all of it holds up. It just like, it's so funny to me. I know it's a terrible answer, but we'll get to it with more with the quotes and stuff, but it's just, it is paced well. It's straightforward enough to understand. Like Ryan said earlier, it's like a perfect mix of like a movie for adults, not I will laugh about that forever. Not an adult film. A movie for adults. And it has a like clear plot. It has characters that are interesting. It has side stories. Everybody gets a little bit of shine. So just like, and it's, I mean, I didn't look at the runtime, but it clips along, and it's not one that, you know, like you
mentioned. 1 hour and 39 minutes. This movie scoots.
Perfect.
Love it.
Perfect. Like, it's just all of it is put together in such a lovely package that makes it so consumable. And it just makes me happy. Like, it just does such a good job of being a good feeling movie.
We've talked about this a little bit, but how many actors could have been a better lead in this role than Cary Elwes? Because I feel like what he brings to the table is he is perfect for this role, from the looks to his comedic chops to his just general charisma and wittiness. Like, it is the perfect balance. Like, and we're thinking about 1987. I don't think like Tom Cruise has this in the bag.
No,
like not his thing at all.
No, I don't know. Like, cause to Caroline's point, it is funny, but it's not silly.
Yes.
Right.
And that's what makes it, I think, really work, is that it's light, but it's not farcical. Like, you can, you know, you brought up Robin Hood Men in Tights, which is obviously very silly. And these, they don't feel at all the same.
No.
Like, it manages to sort of like have an earnestness and a sort of there are meaningful stakes to it for almost everyone involved. And it has like real peril and like real danger and things like that, but it doesn't ever, it's just tonally really, really beautiful. Like, it really manages to straddle this line between, we're going to talk about some serious things like true love and
marriage
marriage yes, and but we're also not going to like get bogged down in it in a lot of ways.
It's an homage to fantasy books, sure, and fairy tales. It's not a satire of, I think it's like the big difference. Like, where, like you said, Robin Hood Men in Tights is like a satire or whatever you want to call it, like over the top. Like, this is an honest like ode to fairy tales that has this like level of reference, but also like fun to it.
And the other fantasy films that come out around this time, I don't know exactly when, but like, you brought up Labyrinth. And Labyrinth has like...
Great Sting movie. Yeah.
Labyrinth has like puppets and singing and stuff. Labyrinth is a very good movie, and I'm not going to shit on it. But like, Labyrinth has some silly parts that remind you like, oh, this is like kind of a silly movie. The other one is Legend, which is a Tom Cruise movie, which is way heavier, which is way like, here's Tim Curry as the devil.
Oh, that, you know why Caroline I haven't seen this. That's why I haven't seen it.
Caroline, I haven't told you this yet, but Clue is winning the January Live Watch poll by a sizable amount.
I think I'm getting sick.
Wait, have you seen Home? You've seen Home Alone too.
Yes, he terrifies me.
Oh, okay. I feel like we've had. Okay, never mind.
The second most terrifying person in Home Alone too.
Yeah, yeah. Like I guess like the other one you'd probably put into this category is The NeverEnding Story, but The NeverEnding Story is bleak.
Dark.
Also, yes, it is. It is bleak and dark and weird. And this manages to be like, have little moments of dark. I mean, we see somebody die and come back to life.
It's legitimate torture in this movie.
Yes.
But like, to your point, that's where we bring in Billy Crystal and Carol Kane to keep things light.
We also totally believe that this couple, they're not just telling us it's true love. We believe it between these two, and they don't share a ton of screen time.
Right.
Like 10 minutes?
They absolutely sell just with her being like, fine boy, get this for me. And he does the as you wish thing. 10 out of 10. No notes. Like, everyone watching this at the beginning is just like, oh, yeah, okay. Yep, I understand.
How mean she is to him when he's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Well, and he's real mean to her. Too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
When he's like, oh, how long did it take? Like a week? Did you bury him first? You
know, like, right, right.
That's like every guy in the 2000s, like messaging their ex-girlfriend with a different AIM username. She's like, what did you think about it?
It's just, and it's so perfectly done where she's like, I never said he was my true love. Like, come on, come at me, bro. Ugh.
I have a Dead Pirate Roberts question. So obviously he takes on Wesley as his protege, and it fills him in on the legacy of Dead Pirate Roberts and takes it over. But Dead Pirate Roberts does have this.
Dead? It's not dead.
Dread Pirate Roberts. So that gets to my question.
This is a real Wayne Gross situation right now.
Dread Pirate Roberts. So, but there's the reputation that he does kill everyone he encounters. Has Wesley spent the last 5 years killing most of the people he encounters?
Ooh.
Or is it a total mums the word situation and they're just told, hey, you're the one survivor. Get on out of here.
I think that is an example of like the power of storytelling. Like, yes. I think even the guy who spared him was probably not some bloodthirsty killer. I think it's just like, no, you do this and you act a certain way and people buy it.
Yeah. You pick the wrong protege though, and they take this Dread Pirate
like,
Roberts
okay.
thing really seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just love the details of that whole story where it's like, he has him, he's teaching him. I love the little like, sleep well, Wesley, because tonight will be your last night. I'll probably kill you in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Roberts decided something. He said, all right, Wesley, never had a valet. I can try it tonight. I'll most likely kill you in the morning. 3 years, he said that. Good night, Wesley. Good work. Sleep well. I'll most likely kill you in the morning. It was a fine time for me. I was learning to fence, fight, anything anyone would teach me. And Roberts and I eventually became friends. And then it happened.
What? Go on.
Well, Roberts had grown so rich, he wanted to retire. So he took me to his cabin, told me his secret. I am not the Dread Pirate Roberts, he said. My name is Ryan. I inherited the ship from the previous Dread Pirate Roberts, just as you will inherit it from me. The man I inherited from was not the real Dread Pirate Roberts either. His name was Cumberbund. The real Roberts has been retired 15 years and living like a king in Patagonia.
And then where he's like, and we took on a whole new crew. He started calling me Dread Pirate Roberts. I just love that. I don't know what it is. It's not that big of a detail, whatever, but I just absolutely love that they had this entire thing, like the explanation ready for you.
I would watch that movie. I know I'm jumping categories here, but I would watch that movie.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We haven't talked about Inigo Montoya at all. I would say that the, you know, my name is Inigo Montoya, like that thing has outlasted any other quote in this movie besides maybe As You Wish.
That,
but,
I don't I'm gonna throw another one in there. Generally,
the Inigo character is one of the more beloved fantasy characters ever.
Yes,
he's wonderful.
He's that character is so great because they're these high this they're hired help, which you later find out that Prince Humperdinck hired them. He wants to go to war with Gelder. He's like this whole thing going on, and so he hired. But they're reluctant. I'd love that movie too. How on earth did they become these like muscle for hire type?
They're desperate. That's what Vizzini really emphasizes is like, you guys are fucking losers, and you either get with me and do this job, or you can go back to being like drunks and layabouts and do nothing.
What did he say to him? I think I texted you guys where it's like,
do you want me to
send you back to where you were? Unemployed?
Sean Wallace doing his like most Sean Wallace voice in this high fantasy movie is really
isn't it Wallace Shawn?
I'm sorry, it is Wallace Shawn. Right. We're all messed. We've all
Sean Wallace, the cousin of Mike Wallace, who went off the rails.
Wallace Shawn. Yep.
He's so good at this. And that's the other quote that I think his entire like it's one of the classic blunders, the biggest being never get involved in a land war in Asia. The other one people forget is the, you know, never go against a Sicilian when death is on the line. He just croaks. It's so good. But
I was hoping we'd get Caroline's Wallace Shawn impression.
Dude, it'll come out. Send me back to where you are. But there right away you get that Inigo Montoya is like, he's great, he's lovely, and he encourages Fessick's rhyming. He's like there for it. And he's always like, the scene that I absolutely love is when he's waiting for Wesley at the top of the cliff, and he's like, what can I say to you? They'll get you to trust me, I'll help you up, and I'll give you like breathing time, and then we can duel. Like, I'm a fair guy. Like, it's just so perfect. I love it so much. I love Mandy Patinkin.
They didn't miss on a single character in this movie.
No.
Everyone cooks.
Yeah.
Did you guys have anything else that works that we haven't touched on? It's one of those tough ones where it's like, name a thing. It works.
Yeah. I think it all, honestly, legit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The storytelling vehicle, perfect.
Love it.
I will say, like, I appreciate that it's not doing too much musically. Like, the music is kind of like almost like computer game shitty in some ways, and I don't mean that in a bad way. But
welcome to the '80s, baby.
Yeah, it just like doesn't feel the need to do like a lot of like soaring soundtrack stuff, and I'm like, that's fine. This doesn't need that.
He's trying to knock the door down to chase the six-fingered man, and every time he hits the door, it's like, bah! Like, it's part of the like soundtrack.
Even Christopher Guest being like a real like, just it's very interesting that they made this funny movie and Christopher Guest is in it and he has nothing funny to do.
No, he is the villain.
Yes, Count Rugen.
I don't know why it's so funny to me that like three quarters of the way through the movie, Humperdinck's like, Tyrone, you know I love to watch. It absolutely kills me. No, you know he's I love it. You know I love it. I've got so much to do.
Christopher Guest in this movie has the perfect 90s reliever goatee. Just
100%. 100%.
Just out there eating garbage innings for the White Sox.
I think the number of cut-ins they have with the storytelling is also perfect. Like, well-timed. If they had consistently gone back to young Nick Miller and like Grandpa, like I think it would have been too much. But it was like the perfect amount of like.
Well, it also allows them to move the story along. Like, there are parts where they're just like, we're just going to skip.
Yeah,
and I think it it plays with the framing enough to make the framing worth your time. Cause like, I don't ultimately care that much about like the Fred Savage, Peter Falk part of it emotionally, but it's like, it has its use.
Yeah, I'd agree. Okay. With movies like this, when we say what didn't work, we're obviously in love. You know, we're saying this in love. Is there anything that we want to discuss. Is there anything that you guys think didn't work?
This is tough because I think, like, I approach this the same place Caroline does, where I can only see this from my childhood memories.
Yeah.
And as a kid, all of it works. Like, you're not bored. You're not, like, overwhelmed. By, like, it all works. So I can understand people who come to it as an adult and think it's thin, or think that it's maybe a little juvenile.
Yeah.
In places, but like, I think it's supposed to be. I don't think it's, I don't think anything that any of its flaws, I think, are intentional choices. Let me put it that way.
I'd agree. I have a couple things. I have a couple notes.
Oh my God. I was gonna say, there's not even any part of the movie where I'm like, okay, like, let's move it along. Like, everything goes quick. Everything's quick. It's paced well. Like, there's not. I honestly don't have any, because that's the thing too. It's like, I don't have anything to nitpick about story, because like, it's a fairy tale. Like, what are we?
Yeah, there's nothing that truly doesn't work. But I'm just saying, if you're in third grade and teacher's like, hey, new student joining the class today, this is Buttercup. someone's laughing.
We got Buttercup, yeah, you know, we got Tyrone, we got Pheasant.
You know what doesn't work for me? The T in Wesley.
That threw me, I will say, until this watching, when I watched with subtitles, I always thought it was Wesley.
Oh, when you read your movie?
Yeah, no, when I can't see, listen, I can't hear without my subtitles. You know this.
I mean, but everybody's got kind of a silly name, right?
Yes.
Humperdinck.
Like... Maybe, right. Buttercup, Humperdinck, Wesley, Vizzini. I assume that's his last name, but maybe not. Like, who in medieval times is named Max?
Inigo Montoya sounds like a short-lived soccer coach for Real Madrid.
Sure.
Like, he had a seven-month run and got canned.
F1 coach who got busted for something ridiculous. Yeah, 100%.
This isn't something that doesn't work. I just had nowhere else to put this and just ask a question. So Fezzik he usually does his work battling gangs for local charities. How does that transaction come about? I've got questions about that line of work.
Huh?
So local charity, like Habitat for Humanity, reaches out to Fezzik and they're like, listen, a gang has just been rifling through these homes. Can you just go beat them all senseless? Is that the...
Yeah, I think you've laid
what
it
all
out.
Your questions are about. I think it's pretty straightforward. And then they give him a comically large check.
All right.
He's
early mob
enforcement.
I have one thing I think doesn't work, and it's fine because it's of the time, but like, the creature effects are like... They're okay.
Especially, really just the rodent. Like,
yes. And it's not
the
that
rodent
important.
Is so gross. It's
the rodent
so
is
nasty.
Mostly gross. It is mostly gross. And it's not that important because it's not like we come back to that in any meaningful way. But like, looking at it now, you're like, hey, yeah, that's not great.
The eel has better effects than like the anaconda in the movie named for the anaconda.
Than the aforementioned film.
Than the aforementioned John Voight.
Who would John Voight from Anaconda be in this movie?
That were good.
You'd keep the same accent though.
Yeah. Don't do it.
I love that movie. I absolutely love Anaconda.
What do you love more, Anaconda or The Princess Bride?
Oh, Princess Bride, of course. But
she said resignedly.
I said sadly. Don't make me pick.
The tough choices, a real Sophie's choice between Anaconda or The Princess Bride.
Oh my God. It eats a monkey. Throws it back up. There's no throwing up monkeys in this movie.
Nope.
Probably for the best, truly.
And what's his name? Owen. Owen Wilson. That's the guy who every time I watch Anaconda, which is frequently. Although I think I told you guys this. I interviewed Ice Cube for something.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Yes. You have told us this.
How much I loved Anaconda. I was like, fine, this is the only reason I did this interview. I needed to make sure you know that I appreciate you.
Owen Wilson, top five all-time bad movie death in Anaconda. Just, I like it. Horrible. Horrible. Okay, let's get into best scene. For a movie that is an hour and 40 minutes, lot of quality scenes. Doesn't really... This one, there's no wasted time.
No, none.
It's all... It all moves the plot forward, or it's just really, really fun. Like, there's not even an ounce of, like, there's not a scene I don't care for, even.
Yeah.
There's some slower stuff, like Humperdinck explaining what he's really trying to do to start war. It's like, necessary exposition, but it's not necessarily, like, oh, that's a good scene. I have, like...
That so makes me laugh.
I will listen to other arguments, but I have a really hard time picking anything other than the cliffside sword fight.
Yes.
I could maybe go with the poison challenge as well. Like, those are the two that I really am like, oh, those are so good.
I think from the time they start climbing the cliffs of insanity to when the poison challenge is mm-hmm. the best stretch of the movie.
Yes, 100%.
It is excellent.
It's a legitimately wonderful duel. There was a lot of trivia about how much work they put into that and how many old Errol Flynn movies and things mm-hmm. they studied to make, and how much that Cary Elwes and Mandy Patinkin practiced that, and it pays off. It's really lovely, it's so fun. Good. We love like a lighthearted fencing duel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because they are like in awe of each other the entire time, and like there's something I haven't told you, I'm not left-handed, like that's also good, and like he does like the flips with it and like all these things. It's just so lovely, and also because like he doesn't die, you know, like he just like, I can't you're like, I respect you, but I can't have you following me, so he just knocks him out. Like, we love that. Like, it's a two guys who respect each other and then end up working together. That
the best part is, even the first time you watch it, you know he's not going to die. So you feel good about that.
Yeah, sure.
Does anyone die in this movie? Other than...
I mean, Vicini dies.
Vicini dies, and Count Rugen, he
Count
dies.
Rugen dies.
There was in the trivia, it said body count 6. Some of the guards maybe get it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? That is 100% it, because he sends Tyrone is with the four henchmen when he runs into the three of them in the castle, and he's like, take care of them, and he easily dispatches them and mm-hmm. then chases. I like that whole scene too. So it's basically the wedding through, really the wedding through the end, if we're going to be honest about it. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of like, the wedding's going on the same time that they're hatching the plan to get into the castle, and you've got them all stacked up. And I absolutely love the moment where it's like, we need the gate key. And he's like, well, I don't have a gate key. And he's like, rip his arms off. And he's like, oh, this gate key.
Oh, this gate key.
Love it. Absolutely. It gets me every single time, because the delivery is perfect. And that's the thing about this movie that is so great. Like, is that the funniest thing that's ever been written? No, but the delivery is perfect. And it's all like beat for beat. It's wonderful. So then you have them in the castle trying to chase down like the six-fingered man, and Wesley's trying to find Buttercup, and they're trying to, you know, stuff. And then we get into him doing the pain speech, which is one of my absolute favorite things, into them like riding off into the sunset. So I think that whole last like stretch, and I think the Billy Crystal getting brought back to life scene is great. It's really just a string of great scenes.
Billy Crystal, arguably very funny person, like just very funny guy who's just cooking.
Don't know if anyone's ever said that about him, but we'll be the first. We'll be
we'll go out on a limb here. Inigo getting his revenge and chasing down the count. Maybe I did notice this, but like watching this movie to take notes, the guttural scream that he gives when the door is locked and he's yelling for Fezzik to come breaking down, and the desperation in his voice about he's getting away. I was like, God damn, that's amazing acting. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Everyone is, considering this is like kind of a kid's movie and kind of lighthearted or whatever, people are really acting their asses off in this. Like, Robin Wright is really acting in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Everybody is just like really going for it.
Wallace Shawn is cooking.
Yeah.
In the poison scene.
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Where is the poison? The Battle of Wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemy's? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going.
It's so good. Yeah. And it's that whole thing when Fessing's trying to figure out what to do with unable to stand Wesley as he's like trying to help his friend. And he's like, here, hold on to this real quick. Let me leave you on this coat of armor.
Wallace Shawn's face when he dies is perfect. When it just the laughing and then the sudden stop and tip over.
It's just the best. Oh gosh, I love this movie.
And I love the little thing of the they were both poisoned. Like I built up an immunity to this poison.
Such a great like fairy tale thing. Like,
it's like that's like watching Iowa football. I built up an immunity to this poison. You guys can't take this, but I can. Okay, stat category. Best quote.
Oof.
There's the obvious ones. There's As You Wish. There's, yep. You know, Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. There's the one word, inconceivable.
That's really good. And the response to that I really like, which is like, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Hey, that's an all time. That's a great Twitter meme.
Mm-hmm.
That one has outlasted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love the. Oh no, I just lost it. It was right on the tip of my tongue. Oh gosh. Well, I like the good night, Wesley. Good work. Sleep well. I'll most likely kill you in the morning. When Buttercup thinks she's gotten married, and she's walking with the king and the queen back to her room. She gives the king a kiss on the cheek and he's like, what was that for? And she's like, oh, you've always been so nice to me. And she's like, and this is probably me. I'm going to take my own life because I can't stand it. He's like, oh, won't that be nice? Wasn't that lovely? And then he just yells down the hall like, she kissed me.
You mentioned this quote earlier, Caroline, but when Humperdinck is talking to Count Rugen, Tyrone, you know I love watching you work, but I've got my country's 500th anniversary to plan, a wedding to arrange, my wife to murder, and Gilda to blame for it. I'm totally swamped.
I love that so much. I'm trying to make sure I get...
I think the other one, which Caroline also already brought up, is never going. Is marriage.
Oh, marriage is also good. You fell victim to one of the classic blunders, the most famous of which is never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known as this. Never go against a Sicilian when death is on the line. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Pretty gross. Absolutely love that delivery. It's fantastic. I think honestly, the one that all those things are great and those are like the one that every single time is my favorite thing is when he's explaining to the pain to him and he's like, and my ears, I understand. Let's get on with it. And he goes, wrong. Your ears you keep. And I'll tell you why. So that every shriek of every child at seeing your hideousness will be yours to cherish. Every babe that weeps at your approach, every woman who cries out, dear God, what is that thing, will echo in your perfect ears. Thank you, Bennett. For helping.
I also like when Andre the Giant is getting ready to fight him and he's like, Wesley's like, I don't know, I feel like hand-to-hand fighting you're gonna have an advantage, and he says something to the effect of like, it's not my fault I'm the strongest, I don't even exercise.
That's also good. And the when he's doing the rhyming, and one of the most quotable things is when he's like, stop rhyming, I mean it, and he's like, anybody want a peanut?
Yes.
The sappy one that's good is death cannot stop true love. All it can do is delay it for a while, which I kind of thought at the time, that's what Rose from Titanic, that was kind of her mantra. She just didn't tell the guy she actually married.
Yep. the one my wife likes to throw at me a lot is, I'm not a witch, I'm your wife.
True love. True love. You heard him? You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
Sonny, true love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT, mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich when the mutton is nice and lean and the tomato is ripe. It's so perky. I love that. But that's not what he said. He distinctly said to blave. And as we all know, to blave means to bluff. Huh? So you're probably playing cards and he cheated.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Get back, witch!
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore.
You never had it so good.
Oh, that's also the booing. Boo! Boo! Queen of refuse. Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I honestly, now that Bennett stopped barking for a second, that I the number of times that I think, dear God, what is that thing? is actually very high. I absolutely love that quote and the delivery of it, because he's just trying to delay him until he can stand up again. Like, mm-hmm. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I'm kind of surprised that Humperdinck didn't want the smoke, because he seems, when he's tracking Wesley, he seems very capable. Seems like he's been trained in the, at least the arts of hunting and combat, or hunting and tracking. You'd think he would have a little combat, but like Wesley stands up and he's like, oh, nope, I'm out. Can't do it.
I also just laughed because I think of when he's tracking him and he picks up the empty vial of the odorless poison.
The iocane powder, yeah.
And he's like, iocane powder. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's more of the ridiculousness of the... I bet my life on it.
Calm down.
It's just so perfect, like every step that he's describing these things. Yeah, that's excellent. There was also...
Oh, wait. I also really like... Is this a kissing book?
Is this a kissing book? Oh, that's excellent.
So what happens when you find your dad's Playboys under the bed? Is this a kissing book?
It's not a quote. I guess this would fall under scene. But when they're in the hallway and he does the first time he says the Inigo Montoya thing. And Tyrone just like looks at him and then turns around and runs away.
Yes.
So funny.
That we're just calling him Tyrone.
Yeah, he's Tyrone now.
First name basis.
There's also when Inigo meets Wesley when he's still the Dread Pirate Roberts, and he's like, I do not mean to pry, but do you have six fingers on your left hand? And he's like, do you begin all conversations this way?
And then he asks him about the mask, and he's like, it's honestly very comfortable. More people will be wearing them in the future.
Yeah, it's a really, I think that Inigo Montoya is obviously the one that has lasted the longest and will last the longest. But yeah, there's just so many great little moments in it.
Yeah, the whole thing is full of it. Okay, most athletic moment. This actually gives us quite a few nominees. Can I talk you into diving into fucking quicksand and pulling
it's
someone out?
Yeah. I was going to say Vizzini grabbing her out of the water. Really anything Vizzini does.
I mean, the cliff climbing is unbelievable.
Fezzik, sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. The cliff climbing, both sets of cliff climbing, like whoever that stunt person is, who's just like casually climbing the rope, like legs just swinging away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, you dominated gym class, didn't you?
Rang the bell every single day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Horseback riding in general, I just think that seems difficult to me.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I have never ridden a horse. I don't
ever
want to get on a horse.
Wait. How long have you lived in Texas?
Since 2002.
You've lived in Texas for over 20 years and you've never ridden a horse.
Not once, and I'll live 20 years more without riding a horse.
Caroline, I know what we're getting Kyle for Christmas.
It's a pony.
I've not ridden a horse, but I've ridden a camel. Does that count?
Yeah, normal. Sure.
That reminded me of actually one of my other favorite lines is when she looks out the window at the end, and he has all the horses, and he goes, "Hello, pretty lady." Absolutely love it every single time. Hello, pretty
man.
Lady.
I'm floored that Kyle's never ridden a horse.
Never, never. It couldn't appeal to me less.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I would like to. I think I'd like to. I think horses are really cool.
I think I would get overwhelmed really quickly the second the horse picked up in a speed that I'm not comfortable with. I'd
start
to panic.
They don't do that. They don't. That's not how it works.
I've seen.
Are you just getting
movies.
On a random horse?
We've seen Yellowstone.
If I was hopping on a wild Mustang.
No, don't do that, Kyle.
He's like, don't I have to break the horse in order
yes,
to ride?
Correct. Yep.
So I feel like I do poorly on a horse. I'll pet a horse.
Kyle,
but,
I promise you, the horse they're giving you is the oldest, least excitable horse in the
like,
world.
I'll feed his, a horse an apple.
His name's horseradish or something.
All I can think about is how bad a knight I would be at medieval times.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
I would try to swing that thing with like the ball and the spikes, and its momentum would pull me backwards, and it'd just be a disaster. I'm probably gonna have a nightmare like that in a month. Just I'm like I'm at medieval times, and it's just
great, Caroline. We're gonna surprise him. We're gonna take him to medieval times. We're gonna make him the knight. He's gonna hate us forever. Never have us back up.
I went to where were we? It was in Florida.
This is going to be good.
Into medieval times. It was with my old flight instructor and my friend who went through training with me, and the three of us went to medieval times. And Lisa got so into the competition part of it that at one point yells, "Get a real job." And she goes, "Was that too much?" We were like, "Yes."
Yeah. Yeah, you're at their real job.
I know, we felt so bad.
The Medieval Times Union would hate to hear
that's
that.
That's right.
Sorry.
Okay. You know what? We're going to take a quick ad break, and then we'll be right back.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Okay, coming back from ad break with a tough category, the Lenny Harris Pinch Hitter Award for Best Supporting Character.
Oy. Okay,
gotta make some tough who's in it too much calls.
Buttercup and Wesley, duh.
Buttercup and Wesley.
Humperdinck. Inigo Montoya.
Yes. If Inigo Montoya is in it too much, then Fezzik is in it too much.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's our baseline there.
Yeah.
So nominees, that gives us Wallace Shawn as Vizzini, Fred Savage and Peter Falk, maybe as a duo.
Sure. I'm not picking them, but that can be on the list.
Sure. Fine. Yeah.
I think
Billy Crystal and Carol Kane. I would probably say Carol Kane as a duo as well.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Guest is Tyrone.
I think I'm going Vizzini.
I think
are we
so
100%
too.
Sure his name is Tyrone?
Yeah, that's what it says on Wikipedia, at least.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's in the quote section of IMDb, so that would never steer me wrong.
Yeah. I
love your work.
I think it's Vizzini. Like, because the other thing is, like, Vizzini is getting a fit off. That green number he's got on, man. He dressed up for this kidnapping.
Yeah, he's got plans, you know.
It's interesting boating clothes. Let me get out of my boating outfit, this frilly, likely very thick tunic.
Oh, it's hot. It's
water,
hot.
You definitely want to have tons of flowy layers on that are very heavy. That's
like Wallace Shawn berates Andre the Giant as he is being carried up a cliff. by Andre the Giant.
I love that comeback from Andre from Fesek, where he's like, okay, but I'm like carrying three people.
And he's just got him.
Yeah. He's like, I thought you were this great strength. And it's like,
and yet he gains.
And yet he
Yeah. I think like Billy Crystal and Carol Kane are great, but Wallace Shawn really just gets to like chew so much scenery, and it makes the death like nobody's mad when Vizzini dies. Nobody's like, no. Uh oh, we went too far. It's like, yeah, that guy's a dick. It's fine.
Yeah, he's so good. I think he's the most memorable. It's not that I forget that Billy Crystal's in this, but the you say like, oh, Princess Bride, it only takes you a few hops to get to inconceivable in what Wallace Shawn is doing.
Yes.
But Billy Crystal's riffing, just tip of the hat. Like Billy Crystal, again, let's go out on a limb. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Successful guy.
Yeah.
Love Billy Crystal.
Carol Kane, great and Scrooged, by the way. Just want to throw that out there.
Great in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
Okay. Defend the villain. So that we have a couple villains to choose from. We have Humperdinck. We have Tyrone. We have Vizzini, who I guess, Vizzini's just doing this for money.
He's hot. Yeah, he's not the villain. We have Fred Savage, who's faking it.
Yes, Fred, terrible.
The
I think Tyrone is, he's pretty bad. He killed his dad.
Humperdinck has to be the villain, though.
I know.
He's terrible.
Like
this is a tough movie to.
I think what really sort of like kicks that over the edge is when Humperdinck comes down to the torture chamber and is like, set it to max. And even Tyrone is like, no, this is not cool.
Yeah.
Like, even Tyrone is like Tyrone is a sadist and is probably a sociopath, but
but he's not cruel.
but like Humperdinck is the villain.
Yes, that's fair.
Defend him? Good God.
Really tough. I mean, I think like we've done these episodes where we've like defended like Hans Gruber and stuff, and we get to like Prince Humperdinck, and we're like, can't do it. It's impossible.
The thing that is so sadistic about Humperdinck is the vainness for which he needs to make Buttercup his wife, because the whole purpose of him getting a wife is to have that wife assassinated and, you know, and start this war. He could have picked someone a lot more willing and like a lot more just easier to be taken care of. And he's so vain that he's like, no, I've got to have the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. I'm going to kill her anyway, no matter what, but got to do it. Oh, and she's in love with this other guy. I got to lead her on that. I'm actually going to send these ships, which like Buttercup, come on. You knew he wasn't sending the ships. You just had to know.
I forgot again. My favorite guy, the guy with the gate key, who I absolutely love. That actor kills it in this movie. When he comes in and he like gestures to come over, and he like squats down and he's like holding on to the edge of the chair, and Humperdinck looks at it like, bruh, and he moves his leans on it. It's such a great like subtle scene. But yeah, that's the extra layer of like cruelty from Humperdinck, where it's like, he's like, yeah, we'll send ships out and stuff. It'll be super cool. And he's like, don't do that. Don't do it.
All right. Here's my defense. Monarchies are inherently immoral. There's nothing about them that suggests any sort of like, there's no way to be a moral king. And given once you're in a system that has abandoned any sense of ethics or justice, anything you do to advance your own cause, like, doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter at all. It's not a good defense, but it's just sort of like, yep, you already live this life. Who cares? You're a tyrant by birth. Doesn't matter what you do.
It's a real Waystar Royko situation.
Yes.
Okay. Tough category.
Airbud?
No. Tougher. The Peter Gallagher Award for the hottest person in this movie.
I think it's just, I don't think it's that hard. I think it's a two-way tie with
we just go straight up duo.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you again, it's a weird vibe because, like, I wouldn't say that generally I'm like, oh, Cary Elwes is so hot. Like, what a babe. Like, but there's something in the beginning.
I hope he doesn't listen to this. I mean, goddamn.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a very good looking guy. He's a handsome fellow. But, and I don't know, partly it's probably because, like, the first few times I saw him was like Robin Hood Men in Tights. And that's not a very, like, that's not a movie where you're like, that guy, super sexy.
You don't like the tights?
tights. Like, the only thing I remember about that movie. But goddamn, he is smoldering in the first 5 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
The hair and costume, of course, whatever that little, like, shawl, cowl neck thing is that he wears in when he comes in to get the jug, 10 out of 10. No notes. Perfect.
The thing, him as Dread Pirate Roberts, there are almost no movies that I've ever seen where I see the lead's facial hair and like, I can do that. I might be able to do that. Won't look nearly as good. I think I might enter my Dread Pirate Roberts phase and see what happens.
I don't love the little ponytail. I will say that. No. I don't love the little ponytail. But I guess here, you know what? Not to go all the way back. There is one thing that doesn't work for me in this movie, and it's the fact that she does not immediately recognize him.
It's a real Bruce Wayne situation.
It's a very strong Clark Kent situation happening. Like, I'm sorry. Is he wearing something that slightly obscures the eyes?
Does it matter? Does it matter that he's being very mean?
Maybe.
Also, she's like, to defend her a little bit, she's in the middle of being kidnapped. Like, she's having a terrible day. I wonder if I'll run into Wesley. Wouldn't that be weird?
I guess if you're not expecting to see him and you've also are going through the drama of a kidnapping, fine.
Yeah. And you think he's dead. Right. You're writing it off.
Right. Yeah, it's also not just that you don't expect to see him. It's that you don't expect to see him because he died.
You believe him to be long dead.
Yes. Yeah, you're not like, oh, I didn't think he was going to go to the store today.
Right.
So
right.
I think
he's here.
It might have been this pirate looks a lot like Wesley, but he's dead, so it's definitely not him.
Definitely not him.
Yes.
I love that she says no words during the poison scene. She just sits there with her blindfold on. Mm-hmm. She's like, do whatever you guys want to do. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they are two beautiful people. Is Robin Wright still married to Ben Foster? Wasn't that a thing?
I know she was married to Sean Penn for a while.
She was. She was Robin Wright Penn for a period of time.
I still call her. Is that not right?
No, she is, according to, again, Wikipedia, she is not married to anybody at this point.
Oh, her and Ben Foster ended their engagement in 2020. Sad.
Okay. Okay.
Ben Foster is who?
He was in 310 to Yuma and...
He was in Hell or High Water.
You know what he's in, Caroline? He's in The Punisher. The one with John Travolta. Yes. He's the one with all the piercings.
Yep. Absolutely know who that is.
Yep. He's in Hustle, which I told you should watch.
Hell or High Water is much better than The Punisher, but
Hell or High Water.
Reference that was going
to okay, work. Easy.
Hell or High Water is like, I feel like it's a shoe in for Heist Month next year. Hell or High Water rips.
We get so off track.
Yep. Sorry.
Always. Okay. Drinking game.
As you wish.
As you wish is the.
They don't, but
or Inigo Montoya.
But once they're reunited, they don't say it that much.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
What if when it's max torture, you have to take a Jaeger bomb? You have to just do something so bad for yourself.
It's a waterfall, like while you have to finish your drink as it's max torture. Yeah, I like take a sip, and when he says Inigo Montoya, then you're like chugging the whole time during the last duel, which would be kind of
fun.
That
was good build up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Okay. Best time, worst time.
I think Wesley has the best. No, he dies. But he goes back to life.
That's a wild statement. That's a wild statement.
Buttercup has a real bad time.
Yes.
Pretty much until the very end.
Yes, she has a horrible time. Her one true love dies, she thinks. Then she gets kidnapped. Well, then she has comforting.
Peter Falk has the best time.
Oh. Yeah.
He just comes over. He's all grandpa-y. Yeah. Peter Falk
all grandpa-y.
Yeah, he is.
I know, it's true, but.
That's the right call.
Yeah.
He does.
Peter Falk has the best time. Worst time.
I mean, Buttercup is up there. She is from. She has a good time in the beginning because she's super mean to a dude and it works. And then she finds out that dude dies. She gets forced to be the fiance of someone she really doesn't like at all. It's pretty much she gets kidnapped. Just a lot of terrible stuff.
Think she marries Humperdinck.
Yeah.
She thinks she loses Wesley again.
Thinks she has to off herself. So that's tough.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I kind of wonder if like Humperdinck is having a worse time because like this plan is not complicated. This plan of like, I need to find to Kyle's point. It's like, all you need to do is find somebody, get them fake kidnapped and killed, frame this other country for it, go to war. Like this shit fell apart so bad. And in such a stupid way.
I have a question, though. What is stopping them? Like, Humperdinck is, you know, they thwart him. They leave. They ride off into the sunset. What is stopping Humperdinck from looking out the window, watching them ride off into the sunset, and going, that sucked. Let's run it back. Let's try this again.
I mean, how's that proposal going to go?
Listen, man, find an idiot. I don't know. I'm sure he's got his ways.
Yeah. Plus it's like he's lost Tyrone, you know? Like
that's tough.
I don't know that he can do this without Tyrone.
Lost his boy.
Yeah.
You know who I actually think has a good time is Inigo Montoya.
On the whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does get stabbed, which not ideal.
He does get stabbed.
But he has had like a very respectful joust situation, you know, duel with someone.
We forgot one of my favorite lines.
Okay.
The, I want my father back, you son of a bitch. And he stabs him.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that down. And then under that, I wrote, hell yeah, brother, stab his ass.
Mm-hmm.
I was just really into it when I was taking notes.
Hell yeah, brother, stab his ass.
Yeah. Worst time is complicated, I would say. Because you're right that it probably is Buttercup, but ultimately it works out for her.
Mm-hmm.
But it
everyone
is
has peaks and valleys.
It's a very unpleasant journey. We've left out, we talked about it briefly, but like just the quicksand alone, like
horrifying.
that would fuck me up for life.
Oh my
she's,
God.
She's going to wake up in a cold sweat once a month at least.
Like how long is she in the quicksand fully submerged for, would you say?
Too long.
Right?
Seems like 30 seconds at least.
Like I would.
No, I would never go to the beach ever again.
Never. I would never go
to
the forest.
Not even if there's like even remotely any quicksand possibilities.
I don't think I'd even go outside. You could be like, we're going to the playground. Absolutely not.
Have fun. Have a good time.
It's funny after that when Humperdinck's goons surround them and Wesley's like, we know how to acquit ourselves in the fire swamp. We can live comfortably there for a long time. Like she's like, huh?
Go back to being the dread pirate, dead pirate Roberts.
Uh-huh. Dead pirate Roberts.
You go back to being Wayne Grow, and we will figure something out.
I think also I would maybe say Vizzini has one of the best times. I know he dies, but he dies doing what he loves.
He also doesn't even realize he's dying.
No.
Like it seems like it is instant.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
He goes out on a high. So as far as he knows,
yes,
he's having the best time.
He's having an awesome
just
time.
Outsmarted you.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Well, Caroline, it's your time to shine. The Keith Morrison Dateline episode from this movie.
This is like rich material because it's a perfect like. Okay. I got to get in the right mindset here. Princess Buttercup had a tough life. She lost her one true love, or so she thought. And she was betrothed to another until she was kidnapped by some mysterious men. Could this be an elaborate plot to pit Gilder and Flagler the other places? I had it written down too.
Florin.
Could it be an elaborate plot to start a war? Or was it something else altogether? Could her love return? Find out tonight on Dateline. Damn. So
well done.
I just want to hear Keith Morrison explain Iocane powder. Oh, odorless, tasteless.
What would Wesley do? Iocane powder?
He would have eaten up the commercial break for Wesley being dead.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it would have been so good. It would have been like, but was this mysterious man someone from Buttercup's past?
Suddenly a pirate, known for killing all he encountered.
But was there one who made it through? After the break, could Wesley be that man? Dateline.
She was in love with a serial pirate.
Like, his father was murdered. Would he find the man with the extra finger? Would he examine?
So the movie doesn't get into this, and it doesn't matter at all. What's the nature of their relationship at the beginning of the film? Like, how do they know one another?
Wesley and Buttercup.
Buttercup.
He's farm boy.
He's the farm
on her farm.
It seems like her farm.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a little confusing in the fact that it does not seem that there's literally a single other person around on this farm.
Right.
That, yeah, I see what Ryan's asking.
Yes, I'm just sort of like,
the movie,
it's just sort
Ryan?
Of like, does he live here? Or
yeah. Is he like the neighboring farm boy?
Yeah.
Because like you would think that it would be like her family's farm.
Right. It sort of suggests that she's hand. Like fancy and of means, but also like, is she?
I don't know. It
you
doesn't.
Know?
Because it seems like he was her family's servant. It doesn't seem like he's getting paid a wage for this.
Right.
Definitely a room and board situation.
Yeah.
Weird setup, but we're for it because it was adorable.
It's fine. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buttercup's dad must have loved that. The farm boy, huh?
Also, Buttercup's
that
dad,
farm boy.
Absolutely not.
No, he's like chomping.
He's smoking a cigar.
Absolutely not.
I would give anything for Dennis Farina to be inserted in this movie, but he's wearing an 80s suit and he's smoking cigarettes, and it's never explained.
Oh my god! Oh, I love this
movie. Man. Okay. Roster moves. Who's there, bud?
So many options.
Fred Savage. Peter Falk is coming over. Peter Falk is coming over to read a book to the sick dog. Who's playing video games in a Bears jersey.
The dog goes over to read to the sick kids.
Yes. Also, yep. I changed my mind.
Air Bud pushing up his glasses.
I changed my mind. Caroline Smith is the best.
They have the little like fake looking paw squeezes.
What if Air Bud is the albino, like the torture guy?
Oh,
like,
wow. Yeah, sure.
Or in Inigo Montoya, he gets in like a sword fight.
I would buy it much more if Air Bud was the rodent of unusual size. Like, holy shit, Air Bud just bit the shit out of Wesley.
Yes.
That would be much scarier if you were like, yes. Yeah, there's these huge angry golden retrievers who live in this swamp.
If somehow the least scary animal ever, golden retriever, is somehow.
Also, gate key guy kind of looks a little bit like a golden retriever.
Oh my god, that would be so, he's like, yeah. Puts his paws up on the chair. He's like, off. Down.
If the horses at the end were just giant horse-sized Air Buds.
Hello, pretty lady. And he's sitting on Air Bud.
Or he's Fezzik and he's fucking ginormous. He's just, Air Bud is bigger than everyone else in the movie. Yep.
Air Bud's climbing the rope.
Yep.
He's really like Clifford-sized.
Yep.
Just
Did you see that tweet a few weeks ago that was like, they saw a Clifford episode where they took the dog to the vet for the first time, and the person's like, hold on. You're telling me you have a giant sized puppy that's bigger than your house, and you never took him to the vet to figure out why or get him vaccinated? That's what I'm laughing. Just an unvaccinated huge dog running around the neighborhood.
I'm stuck on Peter Falk as Air Bud. That one really is good.
That's pretty good. He's wearing a little sweater. Yes. He's wearing that grandpa cardigan. Yes. Oh man.
Repeating Sam is just rolling his eyes at this his grandpa dog.
Grandpa repeating parts of the story. You already grandpa told me that Bud. Part, Air Bud. Like, shut up, kid. I'm a reading dog. Oh man.
The big chill. I would argue there's a big chill moment in this.
Okay.
I like that as you went down the hill. No?
That's... We didn't talk about the as you wish down the hill. I mean, it's, I like that. That's a very comical moment where she's like, oh, my dear Wesley, boom, oh, jackass stunt.
Yeah. I'd be like, ooh, I'll meet you down there. I'm going to see if I can find another, if there's some.
That honestly, that seems like an incredible, like a jackass stunt or like something like Bam Margera. I'm going to push Phil down the hill.
And then I'm going to throw myself down behind. That's the wild part. Like, pushing him, totally get it. You think you're just being kidnapped by a different person, but then the decision to be like, well, I guess I'll fucking somersault down this hill myself. And all
and
the
she,
like
throws herself down the hill.
Yes, yeah. And all the sound effects of like, yeah.
It's not like I'm gonna find a piece of cardboard and slide down. Give me 1 second.
It's like, yeah. Just walk. He's not going anywhere. It's fine.
I would have done the seated scoot. If I could.
Sure.
That would have been the, if there was no other way, I would.
The dog dragging their ass on the carpet scoot.
Kyle, I think you're going to pick when Inigo Montoya kills Count Ruger. Kills Tyrone.
Thank you.
That's up there, but when Wesley does the drop your sword and then the music blares as he stands, I was like, ooh, yeah, I like that. I like that. And it sits Humperdinck on down. Again, Humperdinck, I cannot believe he didn't want to try it with the smoke.
Yeah, he won none of that.
Cowardly. Could have been the Inigo Montoya one, though. Like, that one, that was more like a hell yeah, brother, stab his ass and drop your sword. It was more big chill.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh, Inigo Montoya cutting him down in this movie. Last category, before more restore, prequel, sequel, or remake? Has this IP ever been touched?
I don't think so.
Since?
That's
kind of...
There's a Wikipedia category called potential remake. Where the CEO, I guess, of Sony Pictures was like, there are some very famous people who I won't name who want to redo this. And the reaction was just entirely negative on social media.
Please tell me please tell me it's the crew that redid it during COVID with the little, like, Jason Segel as
right
and Paul Rudd and
no. I don't think there's been
part of me is like, don't touch it, it's perfect, it holds up amazing. I think still, especially since
I think,
like,
9 times out of 10, it falls really flat.
Yes.
What?
Like,
if you tried it again.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about this movie, and I was like,
no, like ripping off the curtain. I actually hate this movie. I've just been like, enlightening you guys.
We just talked for 2 hours, and you're telling me that 9 out of 10 times you watch it, you think it falls flat.
I think a remake would be very unlikely to succeed.
You will not at all be shocked to learn that there have been several attempts to make a stage musical adaptation of this.
Of course.
No, I don't.
Jazzy number as you wish.
The only thing I would like to see, I would watch technically a prequel. I would watch the Dread Pirate Roberts film.
Yes.
See, that's something I think they could do.
Yes.
And I'm surprised that no one's been like, let's just, you know, and it could even be the Dread Pirate Roberts after Wesley, because after this goes off, he does, he needs to get all the way back to his ship.
Yes.
By the cliffs. And then he needs to find a successor.
Well, he also tells Inigo Montoya, he'd be like, you'd be a great Dread Pirate Roberts if you've ever thought about getting into piracy.
Yeah. The other movie that I would actually watch is the story of Inigo Montoya's father.
Sure.
Or like,
yeah,
do something along those lines, but have Manny Patinkin play the dad this time.
Okay.
That gets murdered, and then you have a young, like, the journey.
Very sad.
Glenn Powell,
of course.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if they do a remake, it's gonna be Wesley.
I mean, yeah. I know we bring him up for all these roles, but it fits. Like, it fits.
You have never once pulled a lie.
Cary Elwes fit a very specific niche.
It's so weird. It's so weird to think about anybody else playing any of these roles, because, like, you guys are right that it is extremely well cast, but it is not obviously cast, if that makes sense. Like, there's no part where you're like, obviously Wallace Shawn should play Vizzini. But it just, like, works super well.
Never go against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Like, even Mandy Patinkin, you're like, we're gonna get this, like, at the time, mostly, like, theater dork to play this, like, swashbuckler. But he's, like, really good at it.
Works perfectly.
Yes, how much I love the show Criminal Minds.
That show is literally made for you. Yeah, nothing has shocked me less.
Love that show. And he is so great on, like, the first, like, whatever. He's on, like, 6 seasons or something, 5 seasons. Also, kind of has the voice of an angel. Have you heard him sing? It's lovely.
Yeah, he's, like, he's an accomplished stage performer. That's his thing.
See, that would have been the juice to get the musical going.
If you could have gotten Manny Patinkin. Yes, probably so. Man, Caroline, I assume all of these procedures. I assume you've seen every episode of NCIS.
Like... See, that's where I draw the line, though, especially the ones that are like, first of all, now you've done it.
We were about to wrap, but let's buckle in.
You're going to make an accurate NCIS show.
I've picked out, like, a very, very particular scab here.
They're not going to be, like, diffusing bombs and, like, stopping terrorist plots. They're most likely, like, the entire episode is going to be that. Like, also, none of them look like Mark Harmon. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say none. Most like Mark Harmon is a very handsome fella. Yeah. And they would be
that
in these.
Also doesn't surprise me to come out of your mouth.
It makes me, the ones that make me really mad are, like, Los Angeles and New Orleans. And now they're doing Sydney. I'm sorry. Do you know what NCIS does? They're like in LA.
Australia has an ocean, does it not?
Do you guys want to take a guess at how old Mark Harmon is?
Ooh. Oh, he's got to be like 78 now.
No, he's not.
70, he's 72.
Yes. Oh, okay. 78 is too old.
Right, Mama, in the Caroline bell curve.
Mama darn loves Mark Harmon. That is
Superstar college football quarterback. What? Did you not know that?
I did. This, where did he play though? This is in the
UCLA.
Background. Wow.
Yeah.
That.
Mark Harmon is he could have gone pro, but he didn't.
He went pro in something else, Ryan.
He went pro in something other than sports.
Being on NCIS.
I just get so mad. They would not work in an ivy covered loft with, like, screens that you can throw pictures around. Like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They work in some shabby government building, and, like, it probably took them 45 minutes to log on because the internet, like, you're still working Windows 95 at the Pentagon. Come on! Anyway.
But Mandy Patinkin is a profiler.
This episode
Criminal Minds
ended exactly where I thought it would end. We're talking about NCIS and Criminal Minds. This is... Hey, this is how we're signing off Big Screen Sports in the year 2023. This is the end.
Caroline ranting about NCIS.
I would like the record to reflect, by the way, for 2023, that I was in the top 5% of listeners for the Dateline podcast.
I couldn't be less surprised.
Accurate. And they told me that next year I should be in the top 2.5 or something, because then they were like, you got to have goals. I was like, you got to put more episodes out. I listened to everything.
I'm gonna do a best of big screen sports episode for, like, there's gonna be no episode next week, Christmas. There will be a best of episode on Monday, New Year's Day. I was going to do just a best of. I might just have to also do a best of Caroline's Keith Morrison. just do a medley.
Well, I was like, I know stupid Wayne Grow is going to make the best of.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. That's yeah. 100%. Guys, this was great. Ryan, where can the folks follow you?
Celebrity Hot Tub on all the things and sites, except LinkedIn, where you can just find me under my government name, Ryan Nanny.
Caroline?
You can only find me on LinkedIn.
That's right.
Under Ryan's name. We Perfect. Share a LinkedIn profile. At CW. At CW Darnie, all of the places.
If you are listening to this show this far into it, I feel comfortable enough to, you can add me on LinkedIn. Kyle wow. Bindu. I'm always looking to expand my name. Wow. Sales professional. Mm-hmm. Sales professional over
for
here.
For podcasting. Mm-hmm.
We will be back in a couple weeks with an episode of Big Screen Sports. So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next year.